All right, Talking.Golf in 3, 2, 1. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. Scott also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are golf opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to swtc.edu/golf. And we welcome you into Talking.Golf, and we thank Southwest Tech for their sponsorship of our podcast here over the winter months, as we'll be kind of changing things up starting next week. But Southwest Tech appreciate their loyalty to the program and, of course, their loyalty to Wisconsin.Golf. And we start here with Gary D'Amato here on What's Up. What's Up is sponsored by or powered by our Instagram account at wis.golf. That's right. Wisconsin.Golf is now growing our presence on Instagram with the help of our newest member of the team, Megan Augustine. Give us a follow at Instagram, on Instagram at wis.golf. And you can check out all sorts of great links and photos, especially as we get into tournament golf. Again, that's at wis.golf on Instagram. And without further ado, we welcome in the ringer, Gary D'Amato, fresh off a marathon round of golf yesterday. Gary, you had to have the time of your life.
Well, Rob, it was a lot of fun. Played 100 holes at the Bog yesterday. And the purpose was to raise money for the Mac Fund. There were 20 of us who played in this thing, and the 20 of us combined to raise $216,000 for the Mac Fund in a one-day event, which I think is pretty phenomenal for a great cause. We had pretty good weather, and we played fast. And one thing, Rob, is I gained a new appreciation for what Nolan Krentz has done, our friend in Mount Horeb, who we profiled recently. I can't help but think I played 100 holes yesterday, and Nolan Krentz does almost that every day for 8 straight months. That's just hard to believe for me, because I am aching today. I'm hurting, Rob.
How much do you think is too much in a day, Gary, after yesterday?
You know, Rob, it's funny because I played well, and this is neither here nor there, but I actually played the last 10 holes in 2 under par. And we finished on a par 3, and I hit it literally to 6 inches for a tap and birdie. And I said, let's keep playing. There's still some sunlight left.
I'm having the round of my life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was like the preacher in Caddyshack. But in all seriousness, it was a great day. And that was about as much golf as I think I could play in a day. Probably exceeded my own expectations as far as being able to finish. And paid the price today. I felt good yet last night, but today I'm pretty achy.
Where does it hurt most, Gary? Back, shoulder, all over?
I would say any place there's a joint in my body. Kind of aches right now. but I'm really, it was a great event. You know, TaylorMade was a sponsor of the event and did a great job with, everyone got a really nice swag bag, Rob. Better than what they get at the Oscars, I'll bet. And the Bog, you know, the Hammes family donated the Bog for the day. And there were just 20 of us, and we played fast. I mean, the pace of play was 9 holes in an hour. And so we just kept moving. We played the forward. My partner and I, a guy named Mike Lynch, who lives in Pewaukee, we played the forward tees just so we would avoid forced carries and lost balls, you know. And sure. We conceded any putt under four feet except birdie putts. We had to putt those even if they were short ones. And we had a great time. We both played well, and it was a lot of fun, and we helped a little bit raise a lot of money for the Mac Fund.
And before we get back to the cause and the people you were with, you just said something that resonated, Gary. You were 2 under over your last 10 holes, and you were also playing a set of tees where you could go out and score. And
exactly.
I'll never forget, you know, when Jerry Kelly was early in his career, he paid a lot of money to go to Dr. Bob Rochella to tell him to do the same thing. And you must have felt in total control of the of your golf game when you know that you have the opportunity to get birdie on every hole. And now when you go back to the white tees, the blue tees, whatever tees you play after this, the mindset's totally different. You must have felt like you were, you know, playing the Korn Ferry Tour.
You know, to a little certain extent, yeah. I mean, it's so much fun to have a wedge in your hands on par fours or a nine iron as opposed to a five iron, you know, or a three wood in my case on a lot of long par fours. I hit 67 out of 100 greens in regulation, and I guarantee you that number would be cut by 300% if I moved back two tees. So, yeah, it was fun hitting greens in regulation and having birdie putts, and it made the game, you know, you see the game from a different perspective. And I, by all means, I am all for moving up to the tee that's, you know, commensurate with your ability.
And that was something that was told to me at Torrey Pines when I did played the South course and the North course for our Golf Time Midwest magazine. Again, especially the more holes you play, the more you want to enjoy it, the better the golf course, the more you want to enjoy it. The last thing you want to do is go to a course like the Bog. And especially when you know you're going to play 100 holes, be really disgruntled after about seven. That would be a long day.
Rob, if we had played from the back tees, I'd be on about hole number 30 right now. I'd still be playing. And I'd have lost all the golf balls in my bag. I only lost three balls in 100 holes. That's pretty
amazing.
Good.
Amazing. Yeah. Who were some of the other ringers that were out there? Any names that we would recognize that were out there helping raise money for the Mac Fund?
I guess the real ringer, Kevin Von Rossum, was out there playing.
Oh, yeah.
And in the past, this is only the fourth year of this event, but Pat Duffy and Ben Sieg have played in the past. They have a mix of some pretty good golfers and then some, you know, company CEOs and major sponsors and people who donate a lot of money to the Mac Fund. And then there were a few media schleps like me. Greg Matzik was in the field, and Brian Gotter, TV weatherman, a local TV station here. So Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Radio. So there are a few of us media hacks in the field.
Gabe Neitzel is getting to be he's going to be a professional amateur golfer. I think he plays a lot of golf, and I love it. I love it. Before we get off the topic of the Mac Fund, we should also mention that Gary raising funds this week on the golf course. Our other colleague, Jim Kellish, our general manager, who you might often see out at events with his camera, also has a Mac Fund event coming up Saturday at Waverly Beach in Menasha. It's the annual American English Beatles tribute. I believe it was canceled last year because of COVID. It's back. Seated tickets, $25. Standing only, $20. You can go to, www.waverlybeach.com. And it's a Beatles tribute band tomorrow night on May 1st at Waverly Beach up in the Appleton area. Not far from North Shore Golf Club, because we drove by it when we went to the State Am a couple years ago. And a cause that Jim's real passionate about, and the 17th annual concert to benefit the Mac Fund. And of course, you know, Gary, the Mac Fund, and I'm not saying this because it's Mike Bilowski's birthday, but and he works for the Mac Fund, and he's one of our favorites out there on the amateur golf circuit. But the work they've done going back to the days of John McLaughlin and Eddie Doucette, it's an amazing, amazing cause in the state of Wisconsin to help fight childhood cancer.
It is, Rob. You know, the Mac Fund was founded in 1976. And at that time, the overall five-year survival rate for kids with cancer or blood disorders was 20%. Now it's 80%. And it's not solely the Mac Fund that has done that, but the Mac Fund certainly has made huge contributions over the years to get that survival rate up. And I talked to Mike Bilowski this morning. We were talking about that, and he said he thinks in his lifetime he's going to see, you know, 100% survival rate for kids with all kinds of cancer. So, yeah, I mean, there's lots of great charitable causes out there, and certainly the Mac Fund is near the top of my list anyway.
Absolutely. So, well, Gary, I'm glad we can keep you off your feet here for about 45 minutes as we do our Talking.Golf podcast. Because we got a lot to talk about. In addition to Gary being on the golf course this week, it was not exactly a light week for college golf. From last Sunday on, we just had a lot to write about, a lot to talk about. And today, both the University of Wisconsin men and the WEAC women and the UMAC women, the MEAC women. If there's an acronym out there in the upper Midwest for Division III golf, Gary, they're playing today. Let's start first with last week. The Marquette men really had a great opportunity to win both the Big East and have a medalist. And boy, the fickle game of golf sure got heavy-handed down the stretch for the Golden Eagles.
Yeah, Rob, I you really feel sorry for Coach Steve Bailey and his guys. You know, they Connecticut jumped out to a really fast start in the final round. Their top three players, I think, were like 8 under par over the first three holes combined. And Marquette was down, you know, 6 or 7 strokes mid-round and slowly sort of reeled Connecticut in over the back nine, took a 2-shot lead with 2 holes to go with their final three players playing the last 2 holes. And they had a tough time of it with a couple of triple bogeys, and Hunter Eichhorn had a chance to be the sole medalist and wound up tied for medalist because he bogeyed the 18th hole and then a loss in a 3-hole playoff to be the conference's individual representative in the NCAA. So just all in all, just a really, really tough day for Marquette. You know, I texted with Hunter a little bit and, you know, he said, we learned a lot from this and we'll be better next year. And those are, that's all true, but in the moment, it sure had to hurt really bad.
And I know with all the coaches that we've been talking to this spring, there's been a lot of roster management issues because of COVID. Kids on campus, kids not on campus. Steve went with the same lineup pretty much the entire spring with Hunter Eichhorn, Tyler Leach, Nicholas Evangelio, Aiden Lafferty, and Josh Robinson. But, you know, there were some other kids that have seen time before. I'm sure they'll see, you know, time again. But I believe now, did Hunter say, you know, whether he's coming back? For a while, he was in the PGA Tour U standings, and now I don't see him there. He's got eligibility left. I would think that if he can, he will. But where does his future lie at this point, Gary? What did you find out there?
I don't think he's, like, made an official announcement yet. But in the text messages we sent back and forth, he alluded to the fact that he said, we'll be better next year. We'll be back. So that leads me to believe that he is coming back for another year. And that will make Marquette's program all the more strong next year for sure.
Absolutely. Another great story to follow over the weekend was the success of the UW Green Bay women's golf team in the Horizon League Championship. And again, Lee Ranke is doing a phenomenal job, really trying to do it all with Wisconsin talent or kids that come through the Wisconsin PGA Junior Tour. And he got a third place finish out of the Phoenix women this week, Gary. And the Katie Warpinski, much like last week with the Badger women, Mackenzie Hahn, you know, had the best showing at the Big Ten Championships out of the Badger women. Katie Warpinski came playing out of the 5 spot for the Green Bay women, comes up and uncorks a top 5 finish with final round 79 being her worst of the week. She finished T4, but the top 4 golfers all in the top 16, all 5 golfers in the top 30, and all from Wisconsin: Ashley Kolka, Beaver Dam, Lori Meyer, Freedom, Isabel Malecki from Mequon Homestead, Courtney Matchke out of Franklin, and Katie Warpinski out of Green Bay Preble. And they finished about 20 shots behind Youngstown State. I had a chance to get second, but IUPUI out of Indianapolis, they were able to hang on for second. So it really seems as though the Green Bay women have it turned around. And then while on the topic of the Badgers, Bobby Stricker's last collegiate tournament. And Gary, what do you think about her arc and the way that she was able to go from a tennis player to the number one player on her team and have a great time doing it?
Yeah, just a phenomenal arc, Rob. You know, didn't really play high school golf, played some junior stuff. But of course, you know, grew up around Steve Stricker and Nikki Stricker, not to mention Dennis and Larry and Mario Tiziani. So certainly she had a lot of great influences in her life, as she came up through the junior ranks, even though she wasn't playing a lot. and then to go to Wisconsin basically as a project, and to rise to be the number one player, and to do the things she did her senior, her final year, I think is just a phenomenal story. I don't know, you know, when I interviewed her about a year ago for the story we did, and she was toying with the idea of maybe seeing where golf would take her after college. I haven't talked to her since then really at length. So I'm kind of wondering what her future plans are, and we're going to have to catch up with her at some point and see what she plans to do the next year or two.
Yeah, I think it'll be, first of all, an interesting summer for her with the, coming up on the Ryder Cup and, you know, I think trying to really absorb all that her dad is doing as the captain. And then of course the return of the AmFam Championship, which we'll talk about a little bit about later. A journalism major. I know that she and Emily Lauterbach out of Heartland, lobbied for the WSGA Ultimate Intern thing, and we'll see. It's coming up here. I think deadline is today or tomorrow, and hopefully by Monday it will be. We'll know, or Tuesday we'll know who's going to be traversing the state. But that would be an ultimate way to do it. I kind of think she's got kind of her sights set on something with the, within the marketing and especially in the golf area. So we'll see where that takes her. But boy, she had a really solid career. It makes you wonder what she could do with about five more years of work.
Yeah, there's no question. If she wants to keep going, if she's serious about golf and wants to keep at it, there's no question in my mind that she's going to continue to improve. I've seen her swing the club. She's got a beautiful golf swing. And of course, she's got some good genes with her dad and mom, and is a really good putter. So I think with a lot of work and some strength gains, she could go as far as she wants to go.
I messaged her, Gary, and told her that, her parents had to be proud of her, especially her mom, because it was deja vu for me, covering Nikki when she, Dennis put her on the roster coming out of Madison East. And I'm thinking, okay, this will be a nice thing. She can, hang around the program with her dad. But boy, she got to be one of the better players during her era at Wisconsin. And Bobby is kind of, follow that. I said, I hope I'm around to see the third generation of Stricker Tiziani's come into that program and do what they've done. Because honestly, those are the kinds of kids you need to really, get a golf program where you need it to go. And she certainly filled a void for the Badgers. It started out as a novelty with the walk-on thing, but she was critical this year for the Badgers as they tried to move up the ranks and had, one of their better finishes in recent years. I think it was, T8, just a few shots out of a T6. So that was pretty good. As we look at stuff going on this week and right now, Gary, we looked first at the Big Ten men, and boy, I had such high hopes for the Badgers, and I'm sure nobody's feeling more let down right now than the guys who are out there at the at Crooked Stick Golf Club at Carmel, Indiana. A 318 on opening day right now. They're tied for the bottom with Nebraska and Michigan. The last time this championship was played, they finished 14th out of 14. Jordan Hahn's senior year. Jordan Hahn, as we've written about this week, playing on the PGA Tour. So the talent is there. But a 78, 279s, an 82 from Sam Anderson at the one spot, and an 84 from Nick Robinson at the number two spot. Just not what the Badgers had in mind, given the way they'd played all spring.
Yeah, and before we started the podcast, Rob, we talked, you looked up the forecast or the weather in Carmel, Indiana, where they're playing a Crooked Stick, and it looks to be a pretty rough day weather-wise with cooler temperatures and pretty brisk winds. But still, everyone's got to play in it, so it's not an excuse. But you look at the scores, Rob, and Illinois and Iowa are tied for the lead at 12 over par. And I got to believe that with the talent at those schools, especially Illinois, that, 12 over probably is way out of the ballpark for what you expect of those top tier programs. So, the Badgers are 18 shots behind. That's a lot. They're at 30 over par. And I just checked, Rob, the team combined for 30 bogeys, 6 doubles, 2 triples, and just 6 birdies out of their 5. So it was a rough day for Wisconsin. Let's see what they can do and bounce back tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah. And for perspective on Illinois, just having, looked at a lot of the results that they've been in with Pearson Hunt, who's not in the lineup this week, or this year for Big Tens for them. You know, I've seen, I think it's as low as 262, I believe, this spring. So, you know, you're talking, you know, close to 35, 40 shots, you know, over what they're capable of in these conditions. And again, I'm always the eternal optimist when it comes to, you know, these guys that we've covered at in other tournaments, you know, that play at the college level, you know, Cameron Huss and Sam Anderson. We've seen Nick Robinson in some events, and I met Coulter Smith last summer at the Ray Fisher. But, you know, 18 shots isn't out of the realm of possibility, Gary. It'd be one of the more, you know, improbable comebacks. But, you know, I mean, this certainly was a wake-up call. And I should also mention, too, they have Robbie Morway in Indiana as their number six. And I believe that there is a, you know, the opportunity to sub in. I've seen it in some of the conferences that we've been posting results to this week. And so, you know, it's possible that he may, you know, throw a Robbie Morway in for a Nick Robinson. You know, it'd be kind of hard. Both Nick Robinson, you know, and Sam Anderson, you know, towards the end of their careers here. So this is probably one of their final Big Ten championships. We know it's the last one for Sam because it's, because he's got his status up in the on the Canadian tour. But yeah, so that'll be interesting to follow. Well, so you said the weather was good yesterday, Gary, when you played. What is it like out there today? Because I've seen high scores at the WEAC Championship up in Reedsburg, too.
Yeah, it's really windy today, at least down here in the southeast part of the state, Rob. And it's the sun's out, but it's windy and cold. I mean, I just took my dog for a walk a little while ago and wore a light jacket, and I was cold. So it's turned from yesterday. Yesterday was you know, got up into the mid 60s at the bog, and the sun came out for a while, and it was very pleasant playing conditions. But it would be tougher to play today, that's for sure.
So right now in Reedsburg, it is 60 degrees, and checking that wind, the wind only blowing at 7 miles an hour. It hasn't really impacted who we expected to see atop the leaderboard in the WEAC Women's Championship. Three-time defending champion Whitewater off to a good start. They're at 20 over. They lead UW La Crosse by 4, and then it's the rest of the pack kind of bunched up behind that. UW Eau Claire at 45 over, UW Stout at 50 over, and UW Stevens Point at 52 over to round out the top five. They've got 3 fifth-year seniors on the Whitewater women's team this year, Gary, and one of them is leading the way, Kristen Bowe out of Franklin, with a 3-shot lead over Molly Larson of La Crosse and Bree Downey of Stevens Point. Both Larson and Downey are transfers. Larson came to La Crosse from River Falls. Downey came to Stevens Point from Winona State. Andrea Schlieper, a freshman from Verona at UW La Crosse, is in fourth. And then 4 golfers tied for third or for fifth, including Lexi Mead of UW Eau Claire, who transferred in from Drake, Maya Tanberg of UW La Crosse, who transferred in from Arkansas Monticello, and then Maggie Lane, who's playing as an individual for La Crosse, of all things. And that's the other thing we can talk about too, Gary, is the coaching conundrum when you have your starting five, you can't substitute, and you have someone like Maggie Lane all of a sudden in the top 10. Dave Cable, as close as he is to La Crosse, it's a Whitewater right now, would probably be in the lead if Maggie were counting as one of the counters. And then Kelly Storty, one of those fifth-year seniors, along with Kristen Bowe and Cheyenne Knutson, also tied for fifth. You don't often see fifth years at the Division III level. There's no redshirting, you know, you basically have to not start your eligibility clock at the start of your career to be able to play 5 years into your college experience. So that's a unique thing for Whitewater, and I know they're, you know, after not getting to go to the NCAA championships last year, they're hoping to get there this year. The bad news is I think they were supposed to be either in Florida. I think they're in Destin, Florida last year. This year they're at East Lansing, Michigan. There's a little bit of a difference there, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Are you a former member at Reedsburg, Rob? Or do you played a lot of golf there, right?
I am, yeah. And as I told one of the coaches, yeah, I was a member there for 5 years pre-redesign. What they did when they redesigned was they had this really quirky opening hole. It was about 319 yards around a berm, and it goes to a green about the size of my computer screen, and they had to get rid of that because that was just, and it was right next to the driving range. So they added to the driving range, They took out one and made combined one and two, and then put in a par three to the right of the fourth hole. And which has turned into a pretty good par three. It's kind of off to the side over a little bog. And I talked to Bob Feller, the pro up at Reedsburg this week. And the thing that sets Reedsburg apart and makes it, in my opinion, one of the unheralded courses in the state of Wisconsin, especially in the shadows of Wild Rock and Trapper's Turnip and the Dells, they have some of the best greens in the state, bar none. I mean, you know, when I was there, I'd, you know, play a round or two at Maple Bluff and at Cherokee, you know, over the summertime, and the greens at Reedsburg, every bit as good. So he said they've got it playing firm and fast. And I think that also might be part of it. They may not have the wind up at Reedsburg that they have down in Indiana, but they've got the green speeds that are second to none. So I'm sure the gals, after probably putting in all kinds of surfaces here in the springtime, are getting used to that as well. Gary, the other.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, I heard on the news this morning that we're Wisconsin's, most of Wisconsin's about 3 inches below the normal amount of rainfall for this time of year. So I'm sure that, you know, the bog was really pretty firm and fast yesterday. I'm sure that Reedsburg is pretty bouncy, and most courses in the state are. So that could explain a little bit. If you get a little wind, and as you know, Rob, and some really firm greens, it makes it very difficult.
The that it does. And you know, the wind, as we found out, you know, in our days covering the GMO, you get tough pins that you think are going to be fair at the start of the day and get unexpected wind that really dries out greens. You can lose things in a hurry. And I'm sure that's not the case at Reedsburg. I'm sure that they've got them all, you know, fair. They do a great job of setting up the course for that championship. The other good thing that's been fun, Gary, is this is the first year I begged and I pleaded with Gary Carter, who was the outgoing commissioner who retired last summer, that he try to get the conference championship to have live scoring, and they do this year. So it's been fun to watch the live scores from the WEAC, and then across the border in the MEAC, right now Gustavus Adolphus and St. Catharines University are locked in a good one. Why does that matter? Well, we've got a bunch of gals from the state of Wisconsin in the competition there. And the one to keep an eye on for St. Kate's is Sydney Brown out of Eau Claire. She struggled a lot this spring, but she is currently sitting T3 with about three holes to play with a two under par total, or I'm sorry, two over par total. And right now, one of the golfers from Carleton College, Kristen Miyagi, is leading at one under. We've got a whole bunch of golfers from Wisconsin. We also have a Wisconsin native, the former Katie Conley, now Katie Lucraft, coaching at St. Olaf, and they're all teeing it up at Emerald Greens in Minnesota. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that the two northernmost schools in the state, UW-Superior and Northland College out of Ashland, are competing in the UMAC, the Upper Midwest Athletic Conference. And right now, the Superior men are running away with it at 28 over par. They've got about a 41-shot lead over Northwestern. That'd be the University of Northwestern out of Minnesota. And then on the women's side, Northland, the better of the two Wisconsin entries, currently tied for third behind St. Scholastica. And last but not least, Brandy Johnston, our good friend who used to be the girls' golf coach at Franklin and the boys' golf coach at Muskego, currently the director of golf at Carthage College after a second-place finish with the women last week. She's down at the Wybring Golf Club in Southern Illinois. And right now, the Carthage College men's team at 33 over par and 18 shots behind Illinois Wesleyan. At this point, Illinois Wesleyan ranked sixth in the country by GolfStat in Division III. So that is another local team to keep an eye on. I should also mention, too, on the MEAC side for the men, St. Thomas and St. John's really went at it on day one at Emerald Greens. St. John's, a 400 par 284. They lead by two over St. Thomas. And unfortunately, though, none of the Wisconsin golfers on St. Thomas's roster. Matthew Robb was the one who had been in the lineup most of the spring. He had a little bit of a tough go of it last time. Must have lost a qualifying match. And they put in a number five, Petter Larsson, who's at 270. So again, I go back to this, Gary, how in the world would you be able to function as a coach in this climate with all the things going on and try to pick out your best five, especially when it's so tough between four, five, and six?
Well, I'm glad that I don't have to worry about that, Rob. Just write about it. You've had some experience, at least at the high school level, of juggling players and picking out a lineup. So you know what it's like. But thankfully, I don't have to worry about that, Rob. I'm glad I don't.
Yeah, and I'm currently wrestling with a situation where we've got, you know, a 6-player lineup at all the matches, and I've got 7 pretty equal golfers. That's the thing. It doesn't matter how, you know, good or bad your scores may look on a scoreboard. When you've got that competition in your program, it only bodes well for the future. We've got it. Obviously, St. Thomas has it as they are getting ready to make the jump to Division I, and it looks like St. Thomas's roster moves have paid off. And again, the one program that is in the running for an NCAA tournament berth would be UW-Eau Claire, but only Eau Claire and UW-Stout have men's golf in the WIAC, so there's no conference championship to play for there. They have to wait for and hope their number gets called for the at-large berth. And again, so much has been jumbled with COVID. It'll be tough. It'll be interesting to see whether this year Eau Claire gets through or not. And only time will tell there. I believe those bids come out early next week because the national championships here are in the first 2 weekends of May. Because honestly, Gary, the other challenge at the college level is, you know, they get out a month earlier than a lot of the high schools do. And you really can't have kids, you know, hanging around campus just to play golf. It would be nice, but you can't do that.
And a quick update, Rob. I see that Wisconsin is not in last place anymore in the Big Ten. Michigan is at plus 32. Wisconsin and Nebraska are tied now at plus 30. So there's one rung below Wisconsin is Michigan, which surprised me. I thought Michigan had a better team than that, but it's only one day, so we'll see.
Only one day. Only 3 teams ranked according to Golfstat in the Big Ten men. So that would lead you to believe that maybe not a lot of NCAA at-large berth to play for either. And it does look and again, Wisconsin's beaten a lot of these teams here at various tournaments during the spring. So, this is what you get when you're a college golf parent, and you get addicted to Golfstat. You live and die at every hole, Gary. And you see one crooked number, and you just want to go into a hole and not come out. But we're pulling for those Badgers, and we'll see how they are able to fare here over the final 2 rounds. Gary, as we go from what's up to what's next sponsored by our Twitter account at wis.golflive, which has been very, very active this week, to say the least. All the high school, all the college results feed into at wis.golflive on Twitter. And it's embarrassing how many people have gone to see the all the results we posted. We've had, we're up over 100,000 page views for the month, Gary. And we're at about 70,000 last week at this time. So a lot of good stuff by you, a lot of good stuff by Dennis McCann, and a lot of results at all levels have helped push us there. And we appreciate it wholeheartedly. We worked through a little bit of an issue with a new scoring format that the high school coaches are using. So I'm hoping to catch up on some of the events that we've missed over the weekend. But at wis.golflive is where you can find those. And as we look at what's next, Gary, we kind of, you know, hit the end of the college season, and there's about a week lull. We had a couple of women try to qualify for the U.S. Open. Tess Hackworthy out here in Beaumont, California, missed by a few. And then Emily Lauterbach this week down at a golf club in Kankakee, Illinois, I believe it was, missed by only 2 or 3. And Emily Lauterbach is really coming on. A pair of 73s in a tough course setup. I love U.S. Open qualifying time. The women's U.S. Open this year, a little bit earlier than normal. So their qualifier, the men's qualifying, kind of coming, you know, almost simultaneously. It's just good to see qualifying again.
Yeah, it is, Robbie. It's a good point. We didn't have qualifying for the Open Championships last year. And so it's good that it's back. And I'm sure that the fields are bursting with golfers who didn't have a chance to try to qualify last year and finally get that chance this year. So our U.S. Open local qualifier in Wisconsin is coming up May 12th at Hidden Glen. And I'll be out there for that. Looking forward to it.
So we've got that to look forward to, and then a lot of other you know, we actually have more courts openings to look forward to. I know you're looking forward to the opening of Erin Hills in a couple of weeks, but I just saw another harbinger of spring in the state of Wisconsin, Gary. Do you know what course is opening tomorrow?
Uh-oh. Which one, Rob?
It is Peninsula State Park in Fish Creek in the Egg Harbor area. And always one of the later ones to open, but they will be opening for the season. And that is a great sign. One of the great, you know, golf courses up there in the Door Peninsula, and one that a lot of people like just because of the one par three hole. Is it, what is it, number eight, I want to say, that the with the, what is it, a 50-foot drop. It's where you can look out over the ocean, over the lake, and then look down and say, oh my God, how am I going to get that ball down there? And it is without question the signature hole there.
Yeah, one of the more memorable par threes in the state. It's just a little chip shot with a wedge, but it's hard to gauge. It's hard to judge distance because it's such a short hole and it's such a vertical drop that, you know, it's easy to, you know, hit your shot and think you hit a good one and watch it sail over the green by 10 yards. So that's a fun course, Rob. I haven't played Peninsula State Park in, man, it must be 15 years. So I'm going to have to get back up there one of these days. That's a great golf course and a fun place to play.
And Gary, because I'm bouncing around on the internet here as we do our podcast, I'm bouncing back to U.S. Open local qualifying. Boy, are you going to have fun. You should see, you've got, first of all, you've got kids as young as young Aiden Cudney out of Appleton, but you've got just about everybody who has ever played mini tour golf out of the state of Wisconsin in the last 5 or 10 years. Charlie Delsman, Jordan Niebrugge, Austin Gaugert, who is caddied for a lot of guys and is currently on the bag of Alex Noren down at the tournament at the Valspar Championship. John Gulberg, the list goes on and on. Who else jumped out here? Austin Kanzorski is coming back. George Kneiser out of UW-Green Bay, who's been playing the mini tours. John Langhoff. And like I said, Jordan Niebrugge. And then another, and Kaylor Steeger, who is on the bag of a guy who qualified for the PGA Tour for the first time this week. And his video of breaking down as he shared the news with his dad went viral. Well, Kaylor Steeger is on his bag this week. So you've got all that crew. And then you've got Mick Smith. And we go back to the, you know, golf being a cruel game. Mick was out of the running for a PGA Championship berth at the National Club Pro. He's the teaching pro out of Summit, Wisconsin. And then he goes, after he goes bogey, bogey, then he eagles a hole to get back inside the top 20. And then he doubles the last hole to fall one shot shy. Mick has been a really fun guy to watch in the club pro ranks here at the WPGA. There have been far too many tales of woe this week among our favorites from Wisconsin, Gary. And Mick was another one that comes to mind. I see he's in the field for the U.S. Open local qualifying as well.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned Austin Kanzorski. I covered the qualifier, the U.S. Open local qualifier at Wild Rock a couple of years ago, Rob. And honestly, it was the worst conditions I've ever seen for golf. The temperature was in the low 40s. It was howling wind and raining horizontally. I mean, Jim Kelch and I went out there in a cart, and my hands got so cold on the steering wheel that after two holes, we turned and went back in. It was just brutal. And Austin Kanzorski shot a 70 that day. I don't know how that's got to rank as one of the better rounds played in Wisconsin, maybe ever. I mean, I don't know how you break par at Wild Rock on a day where you just, you know, you're just trying to do anything you can to just stay warm and dry. That was an amazing round of golf.
Well, I hope you didn't jinx yourself. I mean, Cedarburg's south, but it's also close to the lake. So, I hope you get good weather there. I see Dan Woltman also in the field. I forgot to mention the multi-time, four-time, I believe it is, state open champion out of Beaver Dam, who hasn't played a lot, his wife had a baby over the off season. So he's kind of, and then Peter Webb out of Madison, who's won a couple of events on a Midwest golf tour here lately. He's also in the field. You see stuff like that, Gary, and you get fired up for local qualifying to roll around.
I know I'm going to load up on, in addition to covering it and writing about the qualifiers, I know I'm going to get a lot of notes for the sweet spot. I'm going to try to talk to as many guys as I can and catch up with some of these guys that I haven't talked to in a year or two.
The sweet spot's going to look like War and Peace after the U.S. Open local qualifying.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's next. We're looking forward to it here on Wisconsin.golf. And of course, the what's next segment here on Talking.golf, powered by our Twitter account at Wis.golf Live. The results from all those tournaments we just talked about, you can find them there. Retweet them to your friends. Also look for them on our Facebook page. But what's next, powered by at Wis.golf Live on Twitter. We wrap up Talking.golf with the Ryder Cup report powered by Kohler Golf. We should also mention we're going to combine this with a new feature we're going to have in our podcast starting next week. It'll be the AmFam Championship Report, because American Family Insurance and the American Family Insurance Championship coming aboard as our podcast sponsor through the tournament in early June. And I haven't told Gary this, but I think we might try to do a daily podcast once the tournament rolls around. So, Gary,
sounds good.
I think we can pull it off.
I think so.
But Ryder Cup-wise, you know, it was a team event last week, and didn't really involve at the end there anybody from that might be at Whistling Straits, to be honest with you. It was kind of a – for all we built it up at the start of the week, it didn't really turn into what we thought it might be. So kind of a lull right now. How do you gauge where we're at in the Ryder Cup year, Gary, as far as – when is the next big event in your mind that we really get the Ryder Cup back on our conscience?
Yeah, I think, Rob, it's just a couple of weeks away now that, you know, the PGA Championship at the Ocean Course on Kiawah Island in the middle of May. I think at that point people really start focusing a little bit more on the Ryder Cup because it's a major, all the points that are involved. And, you know, I'm sure Captain Stricker's going to have his eye on that PGA Championship for sure. And I think from that point on, I think things heat up as far as people following the points list and the jockeying that goes on for spots on the team. So we're just a couple, 3 weeks away from, I think, the Ryder Cup being more front and center on people's minds, I think.
And to go back to the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, that was the team event that wrapped up last week. It was Mark Leishman and Cameron Smith out of Australia beating Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel out of South Africa. So we're you know, again, those aren't that'd be a great showdown in a President's Cup year, and maybe one that would move the needle. But the top American crew, Ricky Warinsky and Peter Yeline, were finished third ahead of Billy Horschel and Sam Burns. There's that name, Billy Horschel, again. He won the World Golf Match Play Championship, and now he's up there with Sam Burns. I don't think that's a pairing we'll see at Whistling Straits, but Billy Horschel may be in the conversation based on the way he plays in team events and in match play.
And how about this guy, Rob, that we really haven't talked about at all? This American, I think his name is Jim Catlin. He's won 3 times on the European Tour. He's not really playing in America, but I think he's in the field at Valspar this week, pretty sure, on a special invite. And I saw a quote by Steve Stricker somewhere that, he hasn't earned any Ryder Cup points because he's playing in Europe, but he's won 3 times in Europe. That's more than anyone's won in America, you know, on the PGA Tour. And I saw a quote by Stricker where he said, hey, it's tough to win anywhere, and I've got my eye on this kid. So, that's another name that to throw in the mix that we haven't even talked about. Obviously, he's not going to make the team on points, but Steve gets six at large picks. Would he use one on a guy who's winning in Europe but isn't really playing much in the United States? That would be an interesting question to ask.
Absolutely, I'm not sure if there's any restrictions on who he can give those to. I guess that's a good question, and I saw him asked about it, so you know that it's on the radar. And but not only winning in Europe, but, not really backing down from the guys over there. I mean, out of the 12 golfers that Padraig Harrington will bring to Whistling Straits, we'll recognize probably 6 or 7, but there's probably a good 5 or 6 that'll be, guys that, unless you wake up early and watch the Golf Channel, you're not going to recognize some of those names.
No doubt about it. And even the U.S. team is going to have 3 or 4 guys on the team that you'll recognize the names, but these are guys who sort of came on in the last year or two, young guys. So I think there's sort of a changing of the guard concerning the Ryder Cup and the team makeups. I think, there's going to be a handful of players, maybe 6, 7, 8 players between the two teams that really don't have any experience in the Ryder Cup and are young guys. And I think, you know, combined with the veterans who are going to make the teams, that's going to make for some really interesting drama at Whistling Straits.
I should mention, too, that among the guys at T4 last week, Keegan Bradley and Brendan Steele. And the reason that's relevant is Keegan Bradley currently also high atop the leaderboard at the Valspar Championship this week down in Naples. And I'm sorry, down in Palm Harbor, Florida. And by one shot over Lucas Glover, who had a good week last week as well. So, again, we're seeing a lot of guys come on strong. I think there'll be a great deal of thought put in by Steve Stricker on who's hot. But as we've seen with Jordan Spieth, you can get hot, kind of, you know, dial it back a little bit, maybe get hot again. It's going to be a long summer, I think, for Captain Steve Stricker as he tries to, you know, avoid going with the emotions of the ebb and flow of leaderboards on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, there's a long way to go here. And, you know, the 12 names you look at as the points leader or the six top guys, and maybe you're thinking about six captain's picks when you look at the list. And I guarantee you that's going to, you know, there's going to be quite a bit of change on both fronts. Maybe not so much the points because, you know, guys like
Gary?